We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. It's been a rough morning for me, Brian. I'm still in mourning. I'm not over it yet. Watched the Italy-Sweden game yesterday. It was a World Cup. They've got play-in games, right? So if you finish in second place, they battle away, and they lost their group, so they ended up drawing Sweden, which is not a good draw for them. And there was a deflected shot in the first game. They play two games, one in Sweden, one in Italy. There was a deflected shot that went past Gigi Buffon, the Italian legend goalkeeper, and Sweden ended up winning that game 1-0. And then the second leg is in Italy yesterday. They were in the San Siro in Milan, which is a very famous stadium. And the crowd was there and the Italians were there. And they drew nil all, which is a loss for Italy. Italy had about 75% of the ball, I'd say, maybe 80% of the ball. It was that lopsided. They just couldn't punch in a goal and force then, you know, some kind of overtime and maybe penalties, whatever. And now the five-time champion Italy eliminated from the World Cup. It was bad enough when the U.S. went out, but now you got like another – someone – who was saying that, Dustin? They should have an NIT for World Cup teams?
Yeah, I think
– Yeah, I read a headline this morning.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. It's funny.
Website,
but it's
like for the win.
You know, Italy's one of those teams, like you follow your home country, and then you always are interested in the Italians because they're always good in the World Cup. As I said, they've won it enough. So it's just – You know, and I have nothing against the Swedes, and maybe Ibra now will play in the World Cup, but
yeah,
Sweden, who would believe that? That's, the president was amazed by it as well. But it's bad when the U.S. gets knocked out. Now goes Italy. And today, Brian, I'm a nervous wreck.
Uh-oh, what's going to happen?
It's the last European qualification match. The final spot is between Ireland and Denmark. The first leg was a goalless draw. Now they go to Dublin to play the second game.
All right, well.
And if Ireland scores a goal, they get in. And if they don't.
Home field advantage? Home pitch advantage?
Here's hoping, buddy. Yeah. But we really, I mean, I'm not lying to you. This can ruin my summer. I really need Ireland to be in this tournament.
You know, no handballs. You don't need any of that going the wrong way on you either.
Wow. You're referencing that lousy, rotten Thierry Henry, that cheating son of a gun that Kevin loves so much. Who punched in a ball.
Left the Irish in the dust.
It's a great advertising for the podcast here. Is this what you're doing?
Oh, there we go. Kevin and I will be talking about it on the Screamers and Howlers podcast.
Italy's problem was they didn't have Sharp on the top line. They didn't try to...
Yeah, they tried to mix it up and they... No. Italy's problem is they don't have like the one great creative player. They have this guy, Immobile, who's really good. But he didn't get in a lot of help and they...
That sounds like a guy who can't move.
I know, but he's not. No, he's really good. That's his name. But whatever. I mean, who cares? I know no one cares, but it's just that really hurts. It's tough. Holland did make it.
Hey, did he get the UCLA players out of the Chinese jail yet? Or the
it was
hotel?
In Italy. Oh, yeah. He was working to try to help LiAngelo?
Yeah, LiAngelo.
LiAngelo.
Papa Ball still there doing his reality TV show?
I don't know. He's quieted down, man.
Yeah. He was over there with the UCLA traveling party doing...
He's got to be careful.
Yeah, because you know what? They said they could be there for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, house arrest in a Hyatt hotel, I think in a Hyatt,
I believe so, yeah. Next door to the mall where they allegedly were.
It's not prison, right? But it is house arrest. You eventually would get tired of the room service.
Yes.
Who picks up the tab on that, by the way?
Now, is the NCAA, are those like extra benefits for all those like extra cheeseburgers and stuff that you get and you get to stay in the nice room? Is that an extra benefit from the NCAA?
You know, shoplifting is very unbecoming of a big baller. You wouldn't expect that from a ball.
That's what it was, right? They were stealing sunglasses.
Louis Vuitton. I didn't know. Yeah.
They apparently got a lot of sunglasses because you can fit a ton of them in those cases. That was a Louis Vuitton joke. Yeah, anybody
gotcha,
here?
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of Louis Vuitton sunglasses.
No, apparently.
I've only seen the bag, and really only knockoff ones. I've never seen one up close. But it's meant to be a very expensive item, right? The luggage?
I would assume.
Isn't it a Louis Vuitton bag? Do they do anything else? Oh, obviously they do sunglasses, but do they? Is there anything under $5, Dustin? Let's run down and.
Don't think
well, again, it's got a logo on it, so I wouldn't be part of it. So,
do you guys want to do like a show Secret Santa or anything next month?
Yeah.
You know,
I could use a pair of Louis Santa shades.
No,
what are you talking
we'll
about?
Go with the robe.
This guy's sitting here in a robe. He's
wearing
got
a robe.
I'm not. It's not a joke. He's actually sitting there wearing a robe. Who gave you the robe?
Mitch gave me the robe. He does work with the Special Olympics Chicago. So they are.
Oh, and that's the
they've
the polar
provided
plunge.
My yes polar plunge. I'm doing it for charity basically.
It says VIP, so a very important plunger.
The Big Lebowski, to my
very
brain.
Important.
That's
plunger.
What it says. It says on the robe right there.
That's me.
Yeah.
I plunge.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so there we go. 312-644-6767.
Dustin's giving you the cold shoulder, 67. So it's all appropriate, right?
You know what? I think that's a really cool thing, and God bless everyone that does it. It doesn't appeal to me for a number of reasons. Mainly, I think, you know.
Hypothermia?
Yeah. Huh? Heart attack? I don't know. It just seems like it's a recipe for disaster. Mitch said he's done it, right? Didn't he do it one year? Kevin, you've never done it. You just have the robe.
No, I just wear the robe. Okay. Yeah. But I believe he and his son have done it.
And Ben did it with him? Yeah. Good for them. Yeah, it doesn't appeal to me in the same fashion as
I don't
others.
Even like getting in the lake in the summer.
I don't like being outside when it's freezing, let alone jumping in the lake. Seems like a mistake. How cold does the water get?
Well, freezing would be.
Well, I mean.
Many years they've had to break the ice cap to have a pool to plunge
but
in
the,
off
the,
Oak
but
Street.
But the water you're jumping into isn't freezing, right? It's probably
no,
like
they've
40
actually
degrees.
Had to break the ice on top of.
That's frozen.
Right,
that's
right.
Below 32. But the water itself.
Well, it's not 70. It's not hot springs.
Oh, I'm it's about 40 degrees.
Okay.
What's your temperature, pal?
Yeah.
What is your body temperature?
His?
Think about it
Mine?
That way. You're at 101.3, 105.9.
Mine is 670.
He's
baby.
A WBBM.
He's a WBBM of fever,
yeah.
Fever pitch. So then you're jumping into 40 degrees. You see what I'm saying? That's not as good as you'd like. Just feel like you could lose a toe. It's all fun and games, and we're raising money.
So someone
and
loses
then,
a digit.
And then, you know, who was the wrestler, the Olympic wrestler that lost his toes? Remember that guy? Is it Brett Gardner? Who was the guy? Who was the big mountain
Rulon
man?
Rulon
Gardner. That was it. And didn't he lose a toe or two? And he got hit some. Where was the guy from? Like Montana, Wyoming, somewhere. He was like mountain man type guy. He got caught out in the cold and lost a couple digits on the feet. I want my feet digits with me. Let's try. Jose's on the north side.
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show.
Hey,
good
Jose. Morning.
I can't get over the fact that you have a team that played on a Monday night game.
Yeah.
We have a Bear that had 2 weeks off.
Yep.
How do we come? I mean, there's no excuses for that. That's John Fox's job right there.
Let me ask you a question, Jose.
No excuse for that.
Did you watch them on Monday night? They played Detroit. Okay.
They're
so
horrible.
They were coming off their bye week, and they lost to Detroit in that game. Can you make the argument that the Bears came off their bye week, had a bad loss, and now are going to beat Detroit?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, of course.
I just looked, by the way, Lions are 3-point favorites coming to Soldier Field.
And you get 3 for being
so
at home, so it's like a 6-point swing, right?
Yeah.
You're right, Jose. That's the hardest part of it to imagine is how in the hell you lose a game to
When will the Packers
a team on a short
be
week?
There for you like they were?
No. And you know what? We didn't mention it, but the Packers and the Bears have been playing. They have whatever the lifetime series is, and the Bears were way ahead for a long time. And, of course, the Packers have dominated that series. Earlier in the year at Green Bay when the Bears lost that fumble-licious game, that gave Green Bay the series lead all time. And the Bears came back, and you thought, well, they'll tie that series, right? So now they're 2 games back of them all-time in the all-time series. You don't think the people that named the football property after they changed the address of the building to
1920
in honor of the football drive, you don't think that they noticed that they lost to the Packers?
And look, I'm all for cleaning the house. Again, who's doing the hiring? Who are you bringing in?
These are the questions. It's Mully and Hanley. We're going to talk a little college football next. We're bringing Randy Cross to the conversation on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Randy Cross joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Randy, of course, former Pro Bowl guard for the San Francisco 49ers, a College Football Hall of Famer with UCLA, and a college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. He'll be on the call Thursday when Buffalo takes on Ball State, home of David Hall, and Saturday when San Jose State takes on Colorado State. You can catch him also Tuesdays throughout the season on Inside College Football. Hey, Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Doing fantastic, thank you.
What do you make of the weekend in college football? I mean, I was saying to Brian, I thought we knew who was good and who wasn't, and then the CFB poll comes out, and you realize, oh, no, been looking at it the whole wrong way, and now we clarify who's good and who isn't, and then next thing you know, maybe we don't know what the heck we're looking at.
Yeah, it's called anarchy. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It makes these week-to-week polls, I think, more than anything else, they give you highlights as far as who's playing who. But if you take them too seriously, if you commit too seriously to these rankings, you're in for a problem because they're sure as heck not going to stay that way. And things are shaping up, I think, for an unbelievable end here in the last couple of weeks.
Do you believe, Randy, Wisconsin, an undefeated Wisconsin team, will get in there in the final poll?
I think if they do what they take care of their business, you know, they finished 13-0. Yeah, they're in the final four. I mean, I've got them in the final four personally, as number four in my top four. So I guess I'm different. I value being perfect. I value the fact that you can get through the schedule without having lost, regardless of, you know, how you look at the quality of wins and all that other garbage. I think it's tough to go through a schedule undefeated.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, I before the first ranking came out, we saw Penn State go into Ohio State. It was a great college football game, and Ohio State wins it at the end of the game. And then neither team is in the both of them were in, like, the AP top four, and neither of them are in the – they're all on the outside looking
although
in.
Although some people are trying to make a case Ohio State could get back up there when it's all said and done
That's where I was going because, I felt like that harmed both teams the following week. I know people aren't supposed to look at it and aren't supposed to react to it, but it was almost like Penn State in particular thought they were still part of it, and that after that loss, bad loss, they end up losing the next week. I mean, it's just – it's so difficult with college kids to figure out how to evaluate them and how to say how good a team is. It's just hard because I think they take it personally.
Yeah. Yeah. Like adults are so much easier to figure out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the crazy, what fuels that too is to a degree sort of people that have a rooting interest, you know, whether you're a hardcore Big 12 fan or Pac-12 fan or Big 10 fan or SEC fan, you hear other arguments and your reaction comes back as, yeah, but these guys could do this. Because right now you're going to hear after last weekend's games, you know, Auburn.
Right.
The scenario's there for them. They thumped Georgia. And the Iron Bowl here coming up in a bit, they'll have a chance to beat Alabama. And they theoretically, then again, and in fact, they will meet if they beat Alabama, Georgia in the SEC championship game. Now, there's a scenario as how you finish a year for a two-loss team to have the credibility to be in a playoff. And that will get people at Ohio State. That'll get people at USC. That'll get people at, you know, all these other schools saying, hey, wait a minute. How about our team? Well, yeah, but that means your team will have beaten, you know, two number ones, blah, 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 you know, then another team in the SEC championship.
Right.
So, you know, who you root for, I think, has a lot to do with how what kind of arguments you put up.
And you mentioned, you know, the weekly poll, it creates conversation, which I think is great. And you know, creates people debating who should be up there. It doesn't matter until the final poll comes out. But it's doing exactly what I think it was intended to do. Would that be watered down if you got to a Final Eight instead of a Final Four?
Yeah, I'm not a fan personally. I know how successful the basketball tournament is. And how that's just one of the highlights of the sporting year for some people. And I think surviving that process does give you the best surviving team possible out of that sport. But, you know, I don't necessarily think you identify just the best team. And that's what I would be more prone to think of from the football side, given the limited number of games that you'd be playing. You go to an eight. Then you're looking at 16 games for these kids, and let's just drop the baloney and start paying them, because you can't talk about school. You can't talk about midterms and finals and everything else. You can't talk about all the things that supposedly these guys have in their lives if the bottom line is trying to get them to play this many games.
All right. Very good. We appreciate it, Randy. Thank you, buddy.
No problem. Anytime.
That is Randy Cross, and you know, some people don't agree with that idea. Some people get upset when they hear that you have to pay kids if you wanted to get to a Final Eight. I think, Brian, and I know it's not a popular opinion with everyone, but I think this year is begging you to expand the Final Four. I'm more so, and you know what? Every year is begging you, but this year more than any other, because I think there are teams that deserve to be there that have slipped up. And, you know, it's hard in college football. It's really hard. When you have, you know, natural rivalries, you're going to get everybody's best shot. It's hard to be perfect. It's hard to come through and play against some of these teams. And, you know, whether they're down or whether they're out, whether they haven't had a good year, they're still capable of jumping up and biting you.
Yeah, well, and again, you know, we've been talking about with the college basketball, you know, kids go to class for the first semester. As soon as they get academically eligible for the second semester, they don't see a classroom. The one-and-done guys,
sure,
you know, the good ones who are leaving early, they're there for basketball. I mean, you know, we can debate about paying kids or not or whatever, but they're there. They're not there worried about spring semester and getting their term papers in and then taking the finals in April and May. They're there to move on to the NBA. Now, that's what, 1 or 2% of them.
I'd pay the kids, period. Regardless of whether you expanded the playoffs, I think it's two separate arguments. And I think that when the amount of money coming in to college programs is what it is through the tournament, through, you know, the college football stuff, I would totally pay the
devil's
kids.
In the details. You know, what kind of salary system? Does everyone get the same amount?
The argument is always, well, that you are paying them, you're giving them a scholarship.
Right.
You know what? They should have something when they're done. They should have, and you could do it that way. You could, you know, make them wait 10 years for whatever, like, part of revenue they get, you know. So just so
put it in a trust fund or something.
So they're not destitute if that's the way things go. Up to you, Joe.
I'm with you on expansion, by the way. So tonight you're going to have Miami and Clemson both be in the Final Four, but the likelihood is that in the ACC championship, whoever loses that game, they don't have a chance.
Right.
Wisconsin, their only chance is to run the table and win that Big Ten title game. The Pac-12 is not going to have anybody in there. Oklahoma loses the Big 12 title game. They're back to having a championship. If they lose that game, then now are they out?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We could end up with a completely different group of teams. If you're dropping teams based on a loss.
Ohio State. It's there. They beat Michigan. They beat Wisconsin. I think even with two losses, they could get there.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We've got Coach Wanstead coming into the studio. We can ask him what was his philosophy about replay challenges. You need to have a philosophy, and you need to have a consistent way of going about it. What was Dave's, and what did he think of that replay challenge, and who is it on from his perspective? We'll talk about the Bears. We'll get into where they're at their season, and there's great college football stuff to talk about as well. Should you expand? Do you want to see who in the Final Four? And do we know yet what's going on with that? Coach wants that next. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Coach Wanstead is here in studio. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I am good. Is my speaker on?
Yes, you're on.
Okay,
you're
good. You know, I get confused all the time because the red light's over here, but the volume control's on the other one, you know? What's the deal?
the studio initially was made for the idea was we're going to go TV, right? There was going to be more broadcast stuff, and I think that's one of the things that came into play. Like, Brian is situated here and can't see the guys in the control room. The boyquarium is what it's usually called, but we have men in there, so it's the manquarium. And, you know, it looks like you're looking at fish moving around
right
back there.
Right.
But they will signal to me, and Brian can't see any of that. You right. can't see it because your back's to it. So I've got Dustin with a skunk eye right now because I'm talking about the mechanics of the program. But
I got you.
It's
okay.
Weird, Dave. Yeah. There's just
and Kevin Zipak's
little
wearing a robe. Looks like he's going to take a steam
him.
Or waiting
Hugh
for
Hefner
a mani
pedi. Yeah. He's wearing. Yeah. Turn around. Look at him. He's wearing a robe.
God, what did he do? Did he sleep here last night? Maybe he's working hard. Maybe he's doing extra work.
Yeah, they're being
trying
way
to be
too
good. You know, he's trying to get trying to get an edge. You know,
there's no I in team, but there's a Z.
Yeah, that's football.
There was
Dave,
a Seinfeld movie of that. Remember, George parked his car and he would take a cab home. And he'd leave his car parked in the driveway.
So it looks like Yankee Stadium. Yeah.
And they would put notices on it. You can't park here. And he'd
and
leave them there.
All the Chinese menus were underneath the windshield
wipers. Let Steinbrenner think he was working. Yeah,
Did he have like a pillow under his desk?
Yeah,
with
the alarm clock. Yeah.
That's right.
So. Oh, God. Okay, what do we want to talk about? Let's go. Let's go.
Let's start with the Bears. And you know, Dave, I think there's a lot of reasons that was such a disappointing performance. It starts with the fact that they were favored for the first time all year. You're talking about coming off a bye week where you're supposed to be in better condition than the team that played on a Monday night. You're off a bye. They're on a short week. I mean, we can go through the list of all of it, but they did not have the same sense of urgency. They didn't play with the same sort of bravado on defense. Look, Trevathan is out. I think that was big for them. That's their play caller. It hurts when you lose a guy like that, but that should not stop you from stopping the run. And that Ty Montgomery touchdown in particular, God, it's just awful to watch a guy break through and there's no one there and he's off to the races. It's just that's gotta make your skin crawl, Dave, and your blood boil as a defensive coordinator, as a guy who started out on that side of the ball. That's awful. And, you know, I thought that there were a lot of different moments in that game. The quarterback taking way too many sacks. They just, you know, we can go back, and everybody is going to talk about the replay, and we'll get to that. But it was just, they did not play well enough. They did not.
You know what, though? I'm gonna start here. I thought that they came out with the energy and a sense of urgency when the game started. I really did, except the penalties. Think back now, right?
Fourth play in the game, you get two of them consecutive.
I mean, and that kind of, you know, Don Shula used to always say, you know, there's no such thing as a small penalty. You know what I mean? If one, obviously the yardage, it puts you behind the numbers, you know, behind the down. But two, on top of it, it's kind of a momentum killer. You know what I mean? Now the whistle blows, a flag. You know, one guy says something to another guy in the huddle. What are we doing? Let's go. You know, it takes away that little bit of sense of.
And pre-snap penalties, right? I mean, you haven't even gotten the ball snap, and you're already.
But I thought they were ready to play. And you got to keep in mind, the bye is not what the bye used to be, guys. I mean, now they get 4 days off.
Right.
The best thing about the bye right now is that they're rested. And if you had a banged up shoulder or banged up whatever, did he give a few days to get it healthy?
And that's another thing, though. They came out of the bye with more damage than they went into with it, right? I mean, they'd had no tight ends. That Deion Sims injury killed them because they were already down Zach Miller. You know, Kyle Long can't play. He played one play because they wanted to keep him up because they didn't want to have to take someone off the practice squad and cut somebody in order to bring him up. The linebacker, I mean, it was almost like surgical precision type of injuries. It really harmed what they do best.
Yeah, it did a little bit, you know, but that they, I don't know. I thought they came out ready to play. And then the way the game starts, you're right. And when you look at the game, the way I'm sitting there watching this, I'm saying this quarterback, you know, Hundley kid, I know him very well. We talked about him from UCLA. I said, this guy will take a sack. You know what I mean? He'll throw it to the other team or he'll misreads. I said, so, you know, he's not any further ahead than Mitch is. So the quarterback's a push. I gave the Bears a plus for running the ball. The Bears get a plus for run defense. The Bears get a plus across the board on defense, really, you know. And
then they go out and run it 15 times and can't stop the run.
Well, you know, that's what, to me, at the end of the day, you know, we can sit here, you know, at Monday morning quarterback crap and just talk about all the stuff that should have, would have. But, yeah, running the ball, you would have liked to see him come out and just dominate running the ball, which takes a lot of pressure off of Mitch. And, you know, I thought Mitch did okay, and I know his numbers were good. If you look at his numbers, you say, oh, wow, he didn't throw a pick. You know, what was he? You know, he threw for 200 yards.
97 rating.
Yeah, you know, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, what were they on third down? Because, Norv Turner used to.
Four of 15, I believe.
And let me just tell you a story. When we were in the heat of the battle, when Brady was good, and I was at Miami, and we were winning 10 games a year, and we were, and every, it seemed like every year at the end, it came down to us in New England battling for who was going to win the division. And we lost a heartbreaker to him one time, and I went in, I was a mess, and Norv Turner says, you need to see this. He says, look, he says, we had 13 third down plays, Dave, and Jay Fiedler was our quarterback, who's a winner. I mean, I love Jay like a son. And he says, Jay hit like 8 of the 13. He said, now I want you to look at this tape. I said, I know that. He said, but no. He says, I went through and I pulled out New England's tape. They had the exact same number of third down plays. And Brady hit 10. Hmm. You know what I mean? So right. The three more third downs that they converted because he was, you know, whatever the reason was. You know, Brady made the plays. Yep. We didn't. And that was the difference. And we lose 17-10 or something. You know, I don't know what it was. But my point is, Mitch played better. He's going to get better. You know, five sacks would drive me crazy. Why? Right now, I'm going to be sitting with Tony Wise and the offensive coordinator saying, you know, what the heck's going on here? Are we holding the ball too long? Or are we not blocking them? Let's figure out what's going on. I saw one or two of the sacks. It was a four-man rush. That should not happen. That should not happen.
Well, I mean, when he rolled out, when he did that, like, waggle play, and he's got the tight end in front of him. And
Do you remember Raymond Harris?
Yes, of course.
Well, you know, Raymond wanted to be the ultra back. They called him, right? Yeah. Well, Raymond wanted to be a tailback, and I was playing him at fullback, you know, and that's what – and so to keep him happy, you know, we were a power team, two backs, slam it up in there, bang, you know, Tillman and Rashawn, whoever our tailback was. And Raymond was kind of the fullback. But we were trying to keep – so the play that we majored in, and this is going to make a point of this play with the Bears, was we would run a play-action fake, make it look just like the run where he was going to block. He would sneak out in the flat, okay?
Right.
Same idea.
Right.
And it took us, you know, probably a half a year, half a training camp before we got Eric Kramer convinced that don't look for the tight end. Don't look for the wide receiver. Everybody wants to make the big play. Take the money, throw it in the flat to Raymond. Mm-hmm. If it's 5 yards, it's 5 yards. And that's what happened on that play. He was wide open. And who knows? The guy misses a tackle, you might score. You know what I mean? So the point
is that he was looking for the big play down the field
absolutely.
Instead of the one right in front of him.
Absolutely.
And then he gets sacked.
Take the money. You know, throw it, take the money, and move on. Now, that's something that you can learn. I mean, you know, but if – and I assume that the Bears are emphasizing that, you know?
We'll talk about it next because, you know, the problem they had with the third downs, we'll discuss that too. It's Coach Wonstad. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Coach Wonstad with us. And it's funny because that challenge, Dave, I mean, everybody's been talking about it, and it's now become like the reason to get rid of the coach. And I think that what they were challenging was whether or not he was in bounds. I don't think they even looked at the fact that he had fumbled. I don't think they saw it. I don't know. You know, again, he's got an eye in the sky. There is one person up there that is telling him whether to challenge or not. That's traditionally the way you do it.
Yes, that's the way you do it. You got a coach, you know, and nowadays, the views are better than what they were in the past. They're constantly getting better camera work. We all know that. The other thing you fall into as a coach, and this happened to me, every player, whether it's an offense or defensive player, they come off on the sideline and, coach, he didn't catch the ball. I stripped it. Or I caught the ball, coach. You know what I mean? And
did you ever have one come and say, no, don't do that. I hit the ground.
Oh, yeah, I did. You know, not many, but, you know, because most of them want to, you know, they get caught up in the emotion of the game. But the point is this, and this is why I don't see a problem. I used to this was my philosophy. I had a philosophy that any play near the goal line, it was a possibility of a scoring play at the goal line, whether we were on offense or defense, special teams, I would challenge it. I didn't care. And what I'm sure John Fox heard, you know, I looked at it and the perception was, all someone's got to say to me, coach, they're going to spot the ball at the three. It should be at the one. And if I see it that way, I'm not even looking at the fumble. I'm assuming it's not a fumble. But there's a big difference between first and goal at the one and first and goal at the three.
He said the three, Dave. They actually spotted it at the two.
Yeah, is that right?
So
yeah.
It's 1 yard difference. And I'm not saying that doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that. So I'm.
But
I'm,
it wasn't 2 yards.
I'm not overreacting. I probably would have challenged it.
You
also,
would've. Okay.
If a coach was telling me, coach, they're going to spot it at the three. You know, and we
he's
may
inbound,
have, and
he
then
didn't
the player
out, right.
saying, coach, I scored. You know, and it's. You challenge the play. I mean, that play won't happen again for 5 years. You know what I mean?
You know,
I mean,
and
really.
What's unbelievable is the Packers wouldn't have challenged it because they, you know, that was Mike McCarthy said that they didn't show a view in the stadium. He didn't see anything, and no one upstairs told him to challenge it.
Yeah.
And they would have it would have if they don't challenge it, they get the ball on the 2 yard line.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just so.
And the Bears saw it and they thought that it was
they thought that they could have gotten an extra yard out of it because they thought. That they marked him out of bounds and he wasn't out of bounds.
Right.
They didn't see the fumble. I don't think they were looking for the fumble, but boy, did you see the fumble when you saw it.
You know what? You're not going to see that unless you take your time
and
you freeze it and you get the right angle. You're not going to see that. So I do not. I mean, you know how I would react? I would say, you know what? Yeah, that was. Well, that's what we thought, so we challenged it. I'm going to challenge every play. If it happens on the goal line this week, I'm going to challenge it again. That's just the way it is. I think it's too critical an area of the field that
They afraid of their offense not being able to score from the 3 yard line? Is that, you know, 2 yard line, whatever it was?
No, but I mean, you're
it's just you
assume,
thought you had a touchdown, assume
it's not a fumble. It's either so you're going to say you got the ball. It's three things are going to happen. It's a touchdown, one. You get the ball at the one, two, you get the ball at the three. So two of the three things benefit you, right?
Right.
Getting the ball at the one or scoring a touchdown. I would have challenged it also. I mean, I really would have. And it's easy to say now you see that, oh, boy, he didn't have the ball, on and on.
It was early in the game, too. It wasn't like it was
middle
the last play of the game.
Come on. I mean,
did they ever use the timeout they kept?
You know what? Hey.
They did. They won the challenge.
Yeah, they didn't lose the timeout.
We could sit here right now and talk about 10 plays that, in my mind, were as determining a factor as that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, everybody, don't blame the loss on that one play, I would just tell fans. You know, if you want to blame it on the giving up the scramble at the end, you know, on a third down
bad
and two.
Play.
Oh, killer. Yeah. I mean, that's
a veteran guy.
McPhee cuts inside.
Number one, here's the philosophy. Yeah. Number one, third down and two.
Right.
Tell me, you're going to drop back deep and throw it. No, the ball is going to be thrown quick. They may run it. So you want every lineman in their gaps. You never. I used to tell Butch Davis and my defensive line coaches, Clarence Brooks, we never run a game unless it's third down and five or more. Because if they run it and we're doing a twist, we're going to get gashed.
But he was running a game by himself.
Yeah, he didn't tell anyone what he was doing.
No one was coming around outside.
I would say that's a selfish play. It truly is. And, you know, the old thing, I'm trying to make a play. Well, I've lost a lot of games with players trying to make a play, and their intent is good, but you got to stay.
No, you got to stay within the scheme.
Know the big picture, and this kid can run. It's not like you're playing, you know, Dan Marino in the old days. I mean, this guy can run.
What do you do about it? How do you respond as a coach to that? We'll ask that of Dave next. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.